precious. It's a beneficial thing for us to understand some of these concepts. We're dealing with distinctions that should affect the way we relate to each other. It's a blessing to show affection for one another, to have affection for one another, to know that we have a fondness, and it's because we share common blessings because of our salvation. And we are thankful again for that shift in definition in John 20. May you bless in our thoughts in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I guess I should look at that outline that I gave you so I know where the mistakes are. Sorry about this. I'm looking at Romans 3. And in Romans 3, which is on the back of that page, notes, should be noted. Change the S to a D. They're right. The keys are right next to each other. And my fingers can go either way in that matter. So it's noted. Some of the characteristics of the unregenerate. Now, what we're doing, I've assembled these in a way to help us think in terms of fondness. Now, last week, I trust we came to understand that there was a change in the definition of agape love. That is the idea of other-centered, self-sacrificing love, like Christ's love. When he died on the cross and was willing to set aside his glory to come and be a man and to die, that other-centeredness and that self-sacrificial love is what agape is about now for the church and for Christians. When he talked to Peter, we asked that question, was Peter ignorant? No, he wasn't ignorant. Jesus was changing the definition of love, which kind of covered it all. It was very similar to phileo, though phileo was more soul than spirit, even in the earlier Greek text. But there was a change. Phileo was very distinct. And it was a soulish feeling for one another versus the rationale of loving one another that was so other-centered. So the difference between soul and spirit was very, very important. I kind of wanted to do this to make sure that we were reminded of the fact that it's perfectly okay to have an emotional feeling towards someone and to have an affection for someone. In fact, for Christians, it should be happening all the time. I wanted to read Romans 12 because you have that mingling of these terms, and I didn't distinguish them as hard as I would have liked, but I went ahead and just read it as it was. The chart will help you because it gives you these forms of the word, words. Now, in the notes before Romans 3, I have a box. When I box, I don't always intend, it's not to isolate it, whether it's to isolate it so that it's there for your free, and it's free, it's not, you don't have to pay for it. But what it does is this one accumulates statistics on the word phileo or phileima. Phileo is the verb. Phileima is the normal main noun. You have phile and philia. And you can see I have notes on their five forms without any prefixes or suffixes. Two of them have prepositional prefixes. This is just information. Kata phileo intensifies. Pros is a direction of a kiss towards someone. And the word kiss happens to be a derivative of the word phileo. That is, it's an expression of fondness in this way. At least even in Jewish society and others. I was reading about Istanbul the other day. And in Istanbul, as the governance went along, they had an ambassador come, and there was an exchange of kisses. And that was to say, okay, it's okay for you to come because we will accept you. And we're going to try to find you to be fond of you. It was a matter of civility in that case. then we have two forms with what we call an alpha privative. That means not. We'll talk about some of these as we go. It's interesting, we have 26 compounded words with phileo. 26. That's a lot of times. Do you know how many there are with agape in the Bible? No compounded forms. You have agapeo, you have agape, and agapetoi, the beloved word. And those are the three words. How old is this water? Sorry. I've been sick half the week, so this is the first. Let's see, where does it say your coffee spell? Okay. Oh. No, I'm okay. I think. I also have some in my briefcase. Maybe I will. I don't know. But mine aren't sugar-free. Are you sugar-free?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's not sugar-free.
No, I'm being picky. Thank you, Priscilla. You realize I probably haven't coughed until just now. Okay, let's move and cough in between. 2 Timothy 3:3. And I'm under Roman 3. And in the AV, I'm going to read that out of the AV. Without natural affection. Natural affection is that word stergoi that we talked about, and then we'll look at it quickly in the way through. And that is that relationship between family members, children to parents, parents to children. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, devils. That's what it actually says. It's the word diabolos. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. There's our word. New American Standard translates that haters of good. I would translate not fond of those who are good or those good things. In the notes, I probably should have put a parenthesis on the other side of men. We can be haters of good men or good things. Unbelievers don't like that which is good. And we see that around us. It's not uncommon. I mean, when we understand this, unbelievers, some of them are so malignantly evil, they hate anything that's good. And it seems to start fairly young in some cases. The verse before that is 2 Timothy 3:2. And it says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Again, I don't quite like that translation because it's phileo. They're fond of themselves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. But they're fond of themselves. Autophileoist. I turned it around. But they're fond of themselves. I just remember the days when they said, you have to like yourself. They still do that, I think. you like yourself, don't like your old sin nature. Maybe it's okay the other way. But these are guys. Okay. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, lovers of money, fond of money, fond of silver. The word money is the word for, the normal word for silver. In fact, it's the derivative of the word on the periodic table of elements for silver. A-G is the letters for silver. And so, fond of silver. It's kind of interesting. This is not the word that tells us that covetousness is idolatry, though it is, because it's the other word that has the idea, the desire to have more and more. And I did put that in your notes in 2 Peter 2:14, has the idea of being insatiable or greedy, wanting to have more, and it's translated covetous. See, I have the New American Standard in front of me here, and that is having a heart trained in greed. That's a long sentence to phrase to describe fondness of having more or wanting to have more. I just can't spend time on these. You can kind of see them. Okay. Letter D. Fondness of men. Now it's kind of interesting. An unbeliever can be fond of other people. I am aware of interesting things sometimes. Because my grandson is in Cub Scouts, I become aware of what's happening in that part of the world. And I noticed that there is an advertisement for a troop in Forest Grove. And it was a troop that was sponsored by the Elks Fondness Event Club. Elks Lodge. That was what it was. When we came to Forest Grove, the best bar in town, I understand, was at the Elks Lodge. Of course, for those who didn't know, Forest Grove was originally a dry town. Now, I think it's still dry on the books, in a sense, in that I think that the charter with the land grant required it that way. Now there are several bars in town, in that matter, not like in a lot of towns. But anyway, but this fondness of company, and it's interesting because I see that in a lot of different ways. These fraternal organizations are this thing of being fond of men. Now, it's interesting when we get to Acts 28:2. I put in here the kindness of barbarians. I say that because the AV translation in Acts 28:2, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. Is the way it's translated. Now, New American Standard says the natives showed us extraordinary kindness. New King James follows that. It's really a fond of men. They came in and were fond to see these men. Paul was a Jew, and he came, and the word barbarian is the third word in the text in the Greek, barbarioi. Julius was an unbelieving guy in the previous chapter. And the next day we touched at Sidon. Juliusly, courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go with his friends to refresh himself. New American Standard translates to treat Paul with consideration. They translated it kindly. It's fondness of men. Out of a fondness for Paul. And you don't see it in most of the translations. That's why I gave you that chart, so if you wanted to play with it. because it tells you some things. There's an unbeliever can be emotionally affectionate for someone to show some consideration because of a positive attitude in the matter. Now, unbelievers also have this little problem. And you see the idea of hedonism. That is a fondness of pleasure. Traitors are identified in 2 Timothy 3, 4. I'm working around these because I was working with alphabetical orders and that sort of thing. The chart, you know, is in alphabetical order. And so that's why it's the way it is. And this is just kind of a systematizing a bunch of pages of work. And so they were called traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And so you have lovers of play, fond of pleasure. They live for pleasure. Oh, how pleasure has changed. I don't know whether it's a decade changes always, but pleasures change. What is pleasurable to some people today is, I mean, it doesn't even faze me on it. I cannot stick my nose in a machine and play games. And I see the fondness of some for it. It's kind of scary because I have this grandson that gets his nose into it. And he knows more about that stuff than I'll ever care to know. Because he finds pleasure in it. At least he's doing okay now. We asked him what his favorite class so far in school had been. Last year it was math. And I felt pretty good about that. And this year we asked him, and he said art. And I thought, okay. And what he was talking about, the teacher that had taught art the year before is his PE teacher. So now his favorite class is PE. You know, that's not too uncommon for boys and the activity. But the reason, his reasons are great. What he liked about it, he said, if you are quiet and you behave, you get to pick the PE activity. And so he thought that was the greatest part of it. He could pick whether you want to do jumping jacks or whatever. And so, I don't know. I'm having fun with all of this. Fond of pleasures. Our word hedonism comes from that Greek word. Fond of pleasures rather than fond of God. Now, rather than, you have in or and a malon, which is a word that shows differences, rather than lovers of God, rather than fond ones of God. Again, I'd rather, they don't even want to be fond of God. And when God comes on the scene, it's rather interesting. I'm still intrigued with some of the things that are happening in this world today. So that's letter E in my outline is fond of God. Fond of wisdom in a bad sense. Philosophy. Philo, fond of Sophia. Sophia is wisdom. So fond of wisdom, and I say in a bad sense in parentheses, because in Colossians 2:8 it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and empty deceit, or vain deceit. New American Standard gets it with empty deception. After the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world system and not after Christ. And so you can see that that's a bad kind of philosophy, a fondness of wisdom. You can get taken up with wisdom, with human wisdom. Human wisdom is not at all, it's all theory if it's even that. You have a lot of human wisdom that's pure hypothesis. In other words, it's a guess. And so they would rather have that than God. Don't read those people because they will drive you crazy. Then the noun is used in Acts 17 where it says certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, that is Paul, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others, and others some, he seemeth to be a setter up forth a strange God because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. See, these are philosophers. This was not the good sense. They were reactionary. The word Epicurean gives you the idea that, you know, if you have Epicurean taste, it means you like a lot of food on that matter. And so that's kind of the idea that came out of that. An unsaved person can be fond of mind. That is courteous. In Acts 28:7, it says this, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief men of the island, the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days with a fondness of reflective thinking, a fondness of mind, translated courteously in the King James, the New American Standard. And you can see it comes from frontal, is a root. So unbelievers can be fond. It's going to happen. It's so interesting. The world system enhances the fondness of unbelieving mankind. And it's really interesting. When I walk, the last 2 years probably, I walk by this apartment. And it's because I have had a fondness for a certain circumstance. And I walk by, and instead of having a curtain, they have a blanket over there for the window to put the light in. It's a Raiders blanket. And when I see this Raiders blanket, what do I think? I don't think I've seen, I walk by there during the day and I think whoever, the guy that lives there, must be working. But if I walk by and if I see somebody come down the stairs from that apartment, I'm going to probably say, go Raiders. Now, I'm still a little fond of them, but I'm not as fond as I was in that matter. Now, some characteristics of fondness in relationship to grace believers. We started in Hebrews 13. We have two word times we have the word fond in Hebrews. And in 13 and verse 1, oops, that's the wrong 13. Hebrews 13:1, we have Philadelphia. It's one of the four words that starts that chapter. It said, let brotherly fondness continue. We saw that. We worked it. That's why we're in this. Then he says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, to be fond of strangers. Through this, some have entertained angels unaware. And we were there. It's okay. Be fond of strangers like this. And we talked a lot about it when we were there. Here we have it. But it's interesting that this word is found in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1, and in both of those cases, it talks about a bishop, a man who holds the office of a bishop, who is a pastor teacher, by gifting, and who is an overseer by maturity. Or I should say overseer, he's a presbyteros. So a bishop must be blameless, a husband of one wife, vigilant of good behavior, given to hospitality, fond of strangers. Interesting, that's one of the qualifications. Notice it's right next to apt to teach. That apt to teach tells you that they need to have a teaching gift. In another place, it tells you it's got to be a pastor teacher gift. We have it out of Acts 20. Titus 1:8 does the same thing. But a lover of hospitality is what the AV says, but fond of hospitality. New American Standard translates it hospitable, as does the New King James. And so, fond of hospitality. Now, I need to read on because it says fond of good. And there's another, fond of good, good things, good men. That fondness of good. A bishop should be fond of that which is good, that which will make people happy. There are things that make people happy that are not something that I find makes me happy. Because I'm different than they may be. I'm intrigued by bees. But I couldn't spend hours and hours and hours looking at bees because I was so fond of them. Yet I have two neighbors that are fond of bees. I mean, they've really, they've gotten into it. And so I don't know whether it's helping what I grew this year or not. It should be, because I'm getting more bees to pollinate. And it's something I love for the science. I'm not looking at it for other than that. On it. But this thing, fond of think good things, that's good. What would we do without bees? You got a whole bunch of panic about bees, don't we? In that matter. And I learned more about it when I talked to my neighbors. I think one has four hives or three hives across the street, a couple of them in a vineyard. Other one has two hives. And so I have lots of bees around. They love my bird bath. Not that they're dirty bees, it's that they are thirsty bees, in that matter. So fond of good, fond of strangers. There's our hospitable word that comes out of why I took the one form of the bishop, have the other word, which is in 1 Peter 4:9, where it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. That is being fond of those who are. Don't be afraid to relate to a stranger. I know a lot of Christians have a little bit of a problem with it, because who do you trust these days? That idea. Romans 12:13 says, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, or practicing hospitality, being fond of strangers. Being glad to have somebody that you can show some affection for by getting acquainted and enjoying another believer. Now, again, we talked about this when we were dealing with 13:2, because in Hebrews 13:2, it does have this idea of it was Jerusalem, the Jerusalem church. You had Jewish Christians coming to Jerusalem of necessity. We have the hint toward that with Mary and Joseph. They came to join the tax rolls. It was a place where the Roman government, if you were in a part of Judea, you were required at a certain time of the calendar, whether it was once a year or more, to go. And so you had opportunity. They didn't have days in. They didn't have the Sheraton. They didn't have any of the hotel chains or motel chains. And they were reliant on people who lived in that little bit of a city called Jerusalem. And so hospitality was very important. It's interesting what hospitality does. My parents and so my brother and I and family growing up, we gained a lot of friends because of hospitality. We really did. I never thought that people would identify with the family as a whole. I could understand them identifying with my mother's cooking. I can understand them, their fondness for my father's company. But preacher's kids? I couldn't fathom that. And then as time went on and as I got much older, it was amazing how many of those people, as soon as they saw me, they would identify with me. And I thought, hey, this guy likes me. I thought he liked just mom and dad. But that was interesting. So They became friends of ours because they were friends of my parents. And you had those who were really considerate, and they looked at kids. I used my dad as an illustration when he'd gone to be with the Lord, and this pastor's son, who was, oh, I couldn't tell you how old he was. He probably was in his 50s or 60s. And he saw my mom at a meeting and said, I want to tell you how much I appreciated your husband, because he always talked to me. He always made it a point. And it was like he said, I knew he liked me. He didn't say that, but that's what he was saying. And so that would made an imprint on this guy till later in life, just because in a pastor's conference, there were other pastors who didn't talk to preacher's kids other than, hi, how are you, and that kind of thing. And so it was interesting. And this is the idea of this thing of a fondness of someone that you might not otherwise know or might not otherwise hook up with. Letter D. Fond of brothers and Christian brothers and sisters. I think Philadelphia. And I have the list in your notes. I'm going to read them very quickly and translate as I go. Be kindly affectioned. Be Philadelphia. The word kindly affection in the AV is brotherly love. He says with brotherly love, preferring one another is stergoi, the word we touched earlier with an alpha privative. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, as concerning brotherly love, you don't need for me to write to you, for you yourselves are God taught ones to agape one another. We were there last week, because when you have agape, there's some automatic fondness. When your mind says, I love you, I'm other-centered, I do anything for you, you get fond real fast. That's the way it works. We talked about let brotherly love continue in Hebrews 13:1. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unhypocritical fondness for the brethren, see that you agape one another with a pure heart fervently. We were there last week again. We went through the verses where you have agape with phileo forms on that. And so you have them running in tandem, as it were. Another place is 2 Peter 1:7, to add to brotherly godliness, brotherly kindness, or brotherly fondness, and to brotherly fondness, charity, that is agape. So it's, he encourages, there's this fondness that's emotional as well as rational. And it's just amazing how well that works and how it relates to other people. Fond of humanity. That possibility, and that word, the word humanity is anthropos. Fond of mankind. Remember, anthropology means the doctrine of man. And so, let me get my verse here so I got it. This was, it's found in Acts 27:3. On the day we landed in Sidon and Julius treated Paul kindly, and gave him liberty. And that's philanthropy, philanthropos. I'm not going to read the others other than to, I'm not going to read any more. I'm going to come to the one later. Fond of family, that's that stergoi is a form. We talk about it. I have a list in the introduction that we went through last week that has the four loves, or what is called the four loves. I mentioned C.S. Lewis's book, Four Loves. Made people aware that there were four. They didn't quite understand it because they didn't always read the book through. That agape was different than phileo. They could come to understand. But stergoi, or stergeo, is a word that is that family affection. And that's the word that we have here. Eros is not a biblical term. That's erotic love. Our word erotic comes from it. It's that physical, hormone-driven kind of physical relationship that comes. And so here he says we are to prefer one another, is the way they translate it, both let's see, preferring for preference to one another in honor of American standard preference just to one another. But the idea is you treat everybody like your family. If they're believers, they are. They are family. So we can treat one another in that manner. Now we have another interesting pair of fondness. And it's interesting because there is some encouragement in Titus for the encouragement of young women to be fond. To encourage young women to be fond. Let me read Titus 2:4. That they may teach young women to be sober and to be fond of their husbands. To be fond of their husbands. Now don't forget in the Greek society what was the problem. You did not have a lot of love marriages. You didn't have a lot of courtship. And many times in some of those societies, that was arranged prior to the birth of a child. You know, if I have a daughter, she's going to marry your son if you have a son. Because they were friends and all of that. And so these were arranged marriages. And so when it comes to being fond of someone, that's a little tricky, isn't it? That's not our society. Well, our society turns it around when it comes to a lot of Christians. They want fondness before they want agape. Maybe it's even turned around further than that. They want eros before they want fondness and agape. That problem. But he says this is something that young women need to be taught and keep them out of trouble. Then the next word in this verse talks about another fondness, to teach them to be fond of children. Fond of husband and fond of children. And again, you have this thing, love, love, both times in both the New King James and the other translations send it. But it's a fond of a husband and fond of a born one. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm sure Pam understands this because of her involvement with the school business. There are some parents that haven't learned to be fond of their kids. And this year I haven't heard it like I have in the past. Because some parents are child haters. Their own children. And they don't take care of them. They don't feed them. They don't clothe them. They don't take care of their necessities. And they're not fond of them. And, you know, when a parent says, I don't like you, that really makes a big mark on a kid. Mm-hmm. Makes a big mark. They don't know how big a mark. When a parent says that in anger, that will never leave that kid for a long, long time if it ever does. In that matter. And so this whole thing of being fond, I mean, to have young women that way. It's kind of interesting to me that they don't have the other side of this for young men. To me, it kind of goes without saying, but that's my prejudice in that matter. I'm always happy when I see a dad out there playing with a kid and they're just having a blast together. You know, I mean, I'm thinking we got a good imprint here, maybe. And what an impression is made. Okay, fond of honor. Timae is the word for honor. And it says, and it's funny, you don't see it. I'm going to read the three translations. And that you study to be quiet. That you make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. That you aspire to lead a quiet life. You see any fondness in there? No, it actually means to have fond of honor. It has the idea of a study or aspire to do something. Be fond of the honor of having a quiet life. It's okay to have a quiet life. It's tranquility is not a bad thing. It's hard to be in the military in some circumstances because sometimes there is not a lot of tranquility. And it's no wonder that there are people who suffer from PTSD because of the pressure that has, that their minds are shattered, as it were, by the stresses. Now, I can't fathom that because I haven't been there. Those who have that battlefield awareness and wake up at night screaming, because they're back on the battlefield and they're hearing things come in and they're become violent and all of that. But that the idea of aspiring to being fond of being having a quiet life. Boy, I want to write this right over to Hebrews 4. You know, the rest that a believer has. That's a quiet life at the right hand. Fond of the frame of mind, a positive frame of mind. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 says, finally, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Remember the word pitiful means full of pity, not being pitiful the way we use it. The King James, New American Standard says, to sum up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Now, the humble in spirit is this translation, fond of a kind of a frame of mind that is stable. You're bouncing in the right places, and that's the focus. So there's a list of a good number of things that it says it's okay for a believer to be fond in these areas. In fact, it's commendable to have a fondness. It's not the other-centered, but it's just to be fond, to have an affection in these areas of things. Now, there are carnal believers who have issues. And I picked two of them because there are only two that I can find with Kalau. It's interesting how often early in my ministry, I ended up in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 16. It says, but if a man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither do the churches of God. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the issue of head covering in 1 Corinthians 11. And there were those who were making this requirement, and they were determined that it was going to be the way it was going to be. And so this idea of contentious, if one is inclined to be contentious, is the way 1 Corinthians 11, 16 is translated in the New American Standard. We have no other practice, nor do the churches of God. But if anyone seems to be contentious, this is New King James, we have no such custom. No such, I like the word habit there. It's not our habit. Nor do the churches of God have that habit. It was unique to Corinth in that matter. The word contentious is to be fond of strife. Ever meet anybody that's that way? They're just fond of strife. They're always waiting to pick a fight. They're always waiting to disagree. They can hardly wait to find an opportunity to be up, one up on you. And they're always trying that. These are fond of strife. And this was an issue in the church. And, somebody was a big problem in that church in Corinth. And there, it's indicated in the way the context flows. He's giving them some instructions and saying, this is why you're doing it the way you are. But it's not really necessary because this is not the habit of any of me or any of the other churches. It is your church that has this issue because you're in Corinth and because of the historical background in Corinth. And so the difference, the history of Corinth was backwards. as far as prostitution on it. I mean, it's whether your hair was long or your hair was short, if you're a prostitute. In most places, they wanted to have the glory in their hair. And so there was issues with the covering. And the word covering in that context is parabole. It means thrown around the face as a veil in that. So it's interesting in that idea with that. And so if you're fond of strife, you got a place to go. And it's interesting. I told you there are churches that have this problem with this family that comes around sometimes in churches. It's the Tater family. And the one who loves strife is agitator. That's the mother. The father is Dick. Dictator. So with the Tater family is always a problem. And I can't remember the rest of them. But I always remember those things. The Tater family. Churches don't need Tater families. Because there are issues, literally. Then we've got a guy named Diotrephes in 3 John in verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, did not receive us. This guy wanted to be first, and oh, what a catastrophe. John, the apostle, the beloved apostle, he writes his letter, and Diotrephes wouldn't even listen to him. He wouldn't let him in because he was fond of being first. And that's it's fond. Proton is our, the root for, the elemental, the particles of an atom. Proton, that comes from the Greek. To be first was considered first. It's funny, when they named all of these atomic things, they were real modern when they did it, but they're certainly primitive now. An atom. You know what that means? Not split. Not splittable. It couldn't be divided. Look how many times it's been divided. And all of the stuff that comes out of it. I mean, the division. So some, most of them are very temporary on that. Proton was the first element. It was the idea. And so they use Greek words and they don't help us any. They help me because I was in that level of thinking back in high school and before of these terms. I found they were Greek and was Greek. Okay. Now, let's go over to Luke 22. And I don't think that I put that in the outline. So you need to put it on Roman numeral 6 in Luke 22. It's kind of interesting. It just seems so out of place here in Luke 22. In Luke 22, after the Lordian table service, after establishing the Lordian table in Luke 22, what happens? He tells them that there's going to be one of them, one of the disciples, that was going to betray him. And so what happens? He says this in verse 21, "But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table." Okay, one of you guys. Now they got to say, who is this? And truly, the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves which of them it was that should do this thing. This thing of inquire is the word to seek together. It's a soon preposition in front of the word to see. They were trying to figure out which one of them. They were looking at all of the character flaws of everybody else. We can see that. They were trying to figure out who was going to betray him in that matter. And then all of a sudden here, Luke just shifts gears. And notice in verse 24, it says, and it's in the text. It's just like it continues on. They're trying to figure out who. And we have to go somewhere else to see what was going on here. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Who's going to be the culprit that's going to betray him? But who's going to be the best, the top? We know this from other places. Who's going to be the first in the kingdom? Who's going to be El Primo Minister? That's what they were looking at. And so what were they doing? They were, interesting. It's the word fond of strife again, in a little different form. They were agitated, trying to figure out who was going to be first, and you can just see them elbowing each other, trying to get first in line. And so it's interesting, this fondness they had for strife. They were quick to argue, and it came right out of this discussion, who's going to betray. And so they look at the bottom of the list, and then they look at the top of the list, trying to figure out who's going to be where. You can see how their minds work in here. It's very interesting. They were fond of strife, so they disputed as to which one of them would be the greatest. Okay. Finally, we're at Titus chapter 3. We went by it, but I didn't read it because I wanted to save it for here. Here we have a passage that talks about fondness related to our Savior. In Titus chapter 3, remember, this is fairly late as far as the writing of Scripture. But in Titus chapter 3, and I'm just going to read in verse 4, because I don't want the negatives around this context, because I think it's very interesting. He says, but after that, the kindness and fondness of man, of the Savior of us, God. Now, I just read it stiltedly. The word love is phileo, and it's the compound philanthropia, this fondness of man. You have kindness. Kindness is a great study, not just as a fruit of the Spirit, because we're not saved by the wrath of God, we're saved by the kindness of God. His kindness. Here it talks about his kindness and his fondness of man. Fondness of man. Boy, that almost seems blasphemous. God the Son, and notice at the time, he's called the Savior, God. You have the person described here. He's human, Savior. He's God. So he's divine. So you have this, and he was fond of man. What is the result? That not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. With the laboring of regeneration and the renewedness of the Holy Spirit. But it's interesting, God was fond of man, God the Son. Our Savior had a fondness for man. I don't hear that preached very often because I don't think people will look at this very carefully. It's the only time that phileo is used of any person of the Godhead and any of its derivatives, it's the only place. And it shows he's fond of man. He has an affection for. Boy, can you see those letters right there? The great big letters and spangled. G-R-A-C-E. To be fond of fallen, depraved, crashed. I should have put that cover on the bulletin this time. Mankind, the mess we're in. It says he was fond of man, both in his human and in his deity. How could that be? What an interesting use of fondness and an affection. Maybe he is providing us with a little bit of an idea of what we need to do when it comes to using that feeling of affection toward other men. We need to be wise. We need to be spirit-led because that can lead us into trouble. But with balance and with the Holy Spirit's instruction, we can be fond of man. And it's okay. And so I think it's, I mean, so interesting because it says, what happened is, and I forgot to relate to the one word that was important, the verb here. It appeared. When he came, it appeared. It was something that came into existence, and my word is epiphania. It became visible. And so that's where we were. Well, God, our Savior, appeared. Interesting. That word is in the aorist. He says it happened at one time, and the whole package affects us all. And that idea is there. So what we've done here is taken a little side journey because of two compound words in the book of Hebrews. And we found that when we got there a few weeks ago, that those words were the only occurrences of any phileo forms or phileima forms in the book of Hebrews. But the more I looked at it, I said, you know, it's so interesting because I ended up doing the big word studies. I mean, I went through all of the proper names. You have that on that chart. It's really, I mean, it's kind of interesting to go through these things just to see, you know, I mean, it's just interesting kinds of things. Philip, the one who is fond of horses. Somebody was fond of horses, or was he born with a funny-looking face? But anyway, that word Philippi comes from Philip of Macedon, you know, on and on. And we are not going to pursue any of that. But you can see that little chart I gave you. If you're interested, it's a good place. You're going to have to use an interlinear, I'm sorry to tell you, because you don't see most translations getting it right. So it's fun. Okay, next week we go back to chapter 13 of Hebrews, and we come to that verse that is an interesting one because it says it deals with marriage, and we'll talk about undefiled in that matter. So that's where we're headed. We're moving along. It's just a slow progress. I'm not really writing a set of commentaries on Hebrews, but I'm sure having fun doing what I'm doing, and I hope you're having some of that fun I do. Thank you, Father, again, for your word, and we're thankful for the privileges of it. May you guide and direct as we continue in the day, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.